Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to do something a little bit different this time. Normally on a television spotlight, we talk about an entire season of a TV show. Tonight, we watched two first episodes of two different shows that we're going to kind of compare and contrast, and there will be spoilers for those two episodes, but one of them's a brand new show that hasn't aired anything but the first, so we can't really spoil past that. And there's going to be a third show that went for three seasons that we're going to reference probably quite a bit, I think.
I think so, too.
But we watched, the first thing we watched was Walker, Texas Ranger, the pilot episode, One Riot, One Ranger. Wow, almost a tongue twister there.
You love that tongue twister, though. And they have t-shirts that say it.
It's the slogan for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, so it's a great title for their first thing out.
And that was about, originally a two-hour TV movie, so about an hour and a half runtime. And then the other thing we watched right after that was the pilot episode of Walker, which is, you were saying, the reimagining of?
Yeah.
And the third show we're going to reference is going to be the Lethal Weapon show, which is also kind of sort of a reimagining of the old movie franchise. And we'll get to why we're going to reference that in a few minutes. But we're in this day and age where getting revivals, reimaginings, reboots, whatever you want to call it, of old classic shows is fairly commonplace.
Well, and there are a lot of terms for it. And some of that is because a lot of things are happening, whether it's trying to bring it back as close to the original as possible, but with tweaks for the modern generation, or whether it's like Full House to Fuller House, where it's the same characters, just now.
Let's talk about terminology for a few minutes, because I would say Full House to Fuller House, or Star Trek to Star Trek to the Next Generation, or Mission Impossible to Mission Impossible 1988 or whatever, it is a kind of a sequel series.
And that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Set in the same universe, sometimes same characters, sometimes not, but the continuity of the old show is relevant.
Yes.
There are other shows that have a revival, and I would say that Will and Grace is a good example of that. I didn't watch Roseanne or the new Roseanne or the Conners, but I'm of the impression that's kind of the same thing, where it more or less kind of sort of picks up where it left off with time intervening in between.
Yeah.
So the difference in my mind between that kind of a revival and a sequel is a revival, yeah, they just had a really long hiatus. Sure, they may have some different characters, different production crew, whatever, but with a sequel series, it's starting a new story that is heavily leveraging the old one, but it's not like really trying to continue the old one per se.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is a definite difference. And with Fuller House, they were trying to echo what they did originally.
Oh, absolutely. Again, it's a sequel. So like with any movie or series of sequels there's a couple of common techniques of do the same thing but differently.
Mm-hmm.
Take a few elements, flip them around, do the opposite of it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a love triangle where one person's chasing one, well, for the next season or the next sequel, the other person will be chasing the first.
Yeah.
You know, things of that sort. So with Fuller House, it's essentially Full House of the Next Generation in a very literal sense.
Mm-hmm.
And here what we've got is more akin to the reboot or the whatever of MacGyver. I haven't watched the new Magnum PI, but they've done a new series for Hawaii Five-0, Charmed. I'm trying to think which other ones, and those are just off the top of my head.
Yeah, I've watched the new Magnum, and it has a very different feel. I mean, there are similarities, but, I mean, spoiler alert on the old Magnum as well as the new. The new Magnum PI starts off pilot episode telling you he knows Robin Masters and they're good friends.
Versus he'd never met the character. And again, that's a reversal, kind of a flip. It was one way in the old, let's do the opposite in the new.
Yeah, I mean, in the old one, he was constantly trying to figure out, is Higgins really Robin Masters and pretending not to be? And for me, that was some of the fun in the old series.
Well, and that's where I found it interesting tonight to watch the original Walker, Texas Ranger, followed by the pilot episode of Walker, to kind of see how much is a reimagining, how much is based on the old. And there's a certain aspect where I can see a few parallels here and there, but almost no much more so than just it's in the same genre.
Well, there was one scene that we were watching, and as it played, you said out loud what I was thinking, which is the Chuck Norris Walker would not have walked out of that room.
Well, this Walker is a very, very different character than the Chuck Norris one.
In a lot of ways. But, I mean, there was a moment where there's no doubt one would have turned right, the other turned left. But this one, a couple scenes later, got a piece of information that made him say, oh, wait, I should have stayed in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it was almost a redemption in a way of, okay, he's not oblivious. But Chuck Norris's Walker was more giving, more concerned with every single person.
Other than the fact that both of these guys are Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
And happen to have the same name. I don't see much similarity between the two.
Yeah.
And like with MacGyver, there's strong similarities between the new and the old. And some very key differences too. But here, this is a younger version of Walker, or a younger Walker. I don't want to see a version of Walker, because to me, it's a whole new character.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done basically this same show and given the character a different name. He happens to be a Texas Ranger, and just gone with that, and it wouldn't have changed anything.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel, because I was trying to see, well, is this character kind of the equivalent of this one from the old show or whatever? And I've watched bits and pieces of the old show, but prior to really rewatching, because I think the original started as a series of 2-hour movies and then kind of went to series.
That sounds about right.
So there's a narrative difference between a 2-hour kind of TV movie and a pilot episode.
Yes, agreed.
But he was pretty much in the old show, you know, literally one riot, one ranger,
mm-hmm.
solo act. He had a father figure. He had a future love interest. He got a new partner, had an uncle, whatever, but pretty much did his own thing.
Well, and it was really about the cases.
Yes.
It wasn't about the personal drama.
Well, the original show was in 1993, started then, give or take.
Give or take, yeah.
This new show, obviously 2021, mm-hmm. or maybe not so obviously, depending on what people are listening to the episode. So literally, a 28-year, a generational difference.
Mm-hmm.
During that time in television, it went from very episodic television to a very continued serial narrative that we have today and have had for many years. Actually, I would say that really came into being not all that long after the original Walker, Texas Ranger started, probably during its lifespan.
Interesting.
Because I would say shows like Buffy and Angel really kind of mm-hmm. were some of the earlier ones doing, you know, season-long arcs and stuff. Certainly not the first or anything, but
yeah,
I think popularized it. But this new Walker has a dead wife, two kids, two parents. He's got, you know, the former partner who's now his boss. He's got a new partner. There's just a lot of surrounding characters,
mm-hmm.
and the story is more about the family kind of melodrama than about the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I really felt the case in this pilot episode was almost incidental so they could throw in a couple of fight scenes.
And he didn't do the majority of the fighting.
The new partner did most of it, yeah.
Yeah. And that was something that, because I watched the episode with our mom, and the more I watched it, the more I felt like I was seeing echoes of Lethal Weapon. So that's why I asked you, can we watch the two back to back? Because our mom is a huge fan of the original show. So I've watched quite a bit of the original with mom. You know, and when it got to the end, and most of the fight scenes hadn't even been done by Walker. And one of the things that annoyed our mother throughout, and I mean, I see it, I get it, but it's kind of funny, is in the original Walker, he always wore that black hat. He had the one hat, it was his, he always wore it. This new Walker has a white hat he wears while he's on duty and a black hat he wears while he's off duty.
I didn't even notice that. And that's funny because when you're going with that cliche, stereotypical Hollywood kind of cowboy, the hat is part and parcel of the character. So to be swapping it like that, I would think you would only do that if you've got, if you were almost doing like a superhero take on it, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, you know, he's the hero when he's at work. He's the villain when he's at home.
I guess, but that sense of identity, again, for this kind of almost cliche character, is tied into that, that the hat's part of the persona.
Well, switching shows entirely to Justified.
Exactly. He didn't have but the one hat. It was part of who Raylan was. And it's funny because, I mean, we've lived here in Texas for over 20 years now, and I'm trying to think how many people I know have worked with or whatever in town that have the hat.
Mm.
And I've got one person I can think of who, I mean, doesn't wear it ubiquitously, but, I mean, not indoors. And,
yeah, yeah.
But has it, you know? And I think almost took it on as an affectation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I am a cowboy, but yeah, the hat's cool.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's unusual to see.
Not only is the hat cool, but places that sell you the good hats, they will sit there when they sell it to you, and they will give you lessons on how to care for the hat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't set the hat down with the brim down. You actually set it down where, if you will, it could hold the 10 gallons with the brim up.
Well, it's a lifestyle aspect at that point.
Well, it's caring for the brim.
Yeah.
And stuff. I mean, there are lessons to be had.
Well, it's the choice to go down that route is a lifestyle choice versus I'm going to wear, you know, a golf shirt versus a t-shirt today kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But it's also not something where, you know, you walk. We live in Austin, Texas. This show is set in Austin, Texas. The other one was set in Dallas. Both are very kind of iconic Texas cities and that mystique of the West of Texas and stuff. Again, gets played up at times, but there's an aspect of it. It doesn't really exist in the modern day that way.
Well, okay, in the current Walker, things that made me think Lethal Weapon. First of all, we now have the two teenage kids.
Yes. The kid factor and the family life, definitely an aspect.
You know, which...
I would start, even before we got to that, the dead wife.
Yes.
The damaged character.
Yeah, well, definitely.
We see him starting out essentially drunk.
Yeah.
The former partner who's now his boss.
Yes.
Now, granted, we're mixing a little of Riggs and Murtaugh in terms of how it's similar to Lethal Weapon. We're not saying it's a direct lift.
Yeah.
But if they had taken this show, set it, say, in L.A., and it was LAPD versus Texas Rangers, and it's like, well, what show do you think this is based on? I'm going to go with, you know, Lethal Weapon, not Walker, Texas Ranger, just relocated.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel there were a few more kind of similarities.
Well, we've got the mystery of you thought you knew about how your wife died, but there are unanswered questions.
Again, straight out of Lethal Weapon.
Personally, I've got questions about where the wife was and how she died, Because if they were living in Austin and she was dropping off food and water in the desert when she went out for about 2 hours, that's one heck of a vehicle she was driving.
Yeah, there were a couple of times where it's like, where do they think they are?
Yeah.
Now, I had that problem also in the original one when that walker, Chuck Norris, worked in downtown, I think, Dallas.
Yeah.
Was handling a case in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And lived out on a ranch in the middle of nowhere.
Well, now, in his defense, Fort Worth and Dallas, 30 miles apart, give or take, they're on top of each other. But you can get to ranch land within Dallas within, I'd say, easily 40 miles to 75 miles.
But that's still...
That's an hour's drive.
An hour's drive, yeah.
There were people who commuted from basically the Oklahoma state line down into the heart of Dallas for work every day and back to the Oklahoma state line at that time.
And part of it is just my ignorance of the Dallas area.
Yeah. Well, I happened to be living in the Dallas area at that time. So,
whereas here they've got not really a kind of a ranch style place.
Yeah.
You know, horses and stuff like that. But from downtown Austin to where you could have that
20 miles?
I'm going to say half hour drive, not rush hour.
Yeah.
So, and it was funny because when they were showing shots of Austin, there were a few, it's like, okay, the Capitol and a few others that feel a little iconic, but there are others, it's like, yeah, I don't know why they picked that one.
Quite a few of them were extremely generic and not, you know, like if you showed Stubbs Barbecue. Everyone in Austin, whether you've eaten at Stubbs Barbecue or not, knows of Stubbs Barbecue.
I guess the question is, what shots could they or should they have used that not only Austinites would recognize, but would feel like Austin from people who only come for South by Southwest or have only heard about South by Southwest and stuff like that?
I think having the lake in front of the skyline.
They could have done shots of the lake, shots of UT.
I think when they showed the sign for the Paramount, for me, they kind of blew it.
Because then they cut into a place that's like a bar versus a theater.
Right. And I'm like, that's not the Paramount. I haven't been inside the Paramount, and even I know that's not the Paramount.
I've been in it, but it's been better part of 20 years. They did a, actually, the time I was thinking of, I was probably back in college, because they did a showing of the original Star Wars trilogy. Mm. So that would have been 30-ish years ago.
But, I mean, I know it's a theater that's been there forever.
Oh, yeah.
So I know, intellectually, not a bar. And the bar that they cut into, there's no way that's on Congress. Big parking lot full of gravel. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just kind of a, why did you pair a shot clearly on Congress of a landmark and then go to somewhere that ain't there?
I took it as we're doing a montage of Austin.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go into a place. But they never even name what bar, place, or whatever they're in and stuff like that. So there's an ambiguity as to, are we going to see this place again? What's it called? Where is it? Versus establishing CD's Bar and Grill in the original Walker.
Yeah.
So some of that, I think, is... Again, a generational difference in how TV is produced. Some of it, I think, is they just built up some stock footage that is kind of like in Next Generation, where we would start every new, you know, after a commercial break with a shot of the exterior of the Enterprise, and then we'd go in.
Wonder how much of it is this first season they're filming during the pandemic. They're not doing establishing shots of really the building their office is in and things like that. Like maybe they're hoping by the time they're filming season two will be, I mean, because right now we're in phase five. We're locked down.
Yeah, but to me, the scene that puts that, you know, makes me doubt that was when they're having the tacos on South Congress.
Yeah, but did you see how far away from them everyone was? The only way they could have people in the background of one shot was to have a pedicab driver and people sitting in the pedicab sitting in a parking spot.
Yes, but if you're talking about getting shots of exteriors for buildings to say this is where their office is or something like that, that doesn't need people even in the shot. Because they had a couple of shots in the old one of, well, this is the office building they're in.
I think they're planning to change interiors as well as exteriors. And I think if they commit to exteriors, they feel it's harder to change interiors.
And that's fair. And I think also pilot episode of a series.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon to shoot one and then not get picked up or picked up and say, okay, we're going to change some stuff. So I'll give them some leeway on that. But if it continues that way.
Yeah.
But to me, it's a question of how many people are going to continue with this show, because you're going to have people who checked it out thinking, oh, it's going to be like the old one, and it totally is not.
The old one was on CBS. This one is on CW. And those are different target audiences.
Oh, absolutely. The old one was a police procedural of a sort. This is a family drama about a guy who happens to be a Texas Ranger. And I'm trying to think how much family life, personality type stuff we got in that original Walker Texas Ranger episode over the course of, you know, a 2-hour TV episode that wasn't there for, I almost will say, throwaway subplot. We just need to have an excuse for CD to be at, you know, Walker's office. Oh, he's reading up for this advice column he's doing.
We got Uncle Ray raised him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got him telling the girl
his backstory on how his parents died.
Yeah. So that she would open up to him and know she will recover.
Do you think the death of the wife in the new one was their almost reversal, if you will, of the death of Walker's parents being told in the original?
I don't think so.
Now he's the parent instead of the child. He's got to help the kids through it. There's the possibility.
There's the possibility, but I just think so many shows these days see ensemble and think that's kind of the answer, as opposed to one riot, one ranger.
Well, it's funny because this is a family ensemble with the work life having a few characters. And the whole big family aspect is a huge change from the original Walker, but it's different than the ensemble, say, for the new MacGyver, where it's now a team show, versus the old one, the two characters that were there throughout the entire, almost the entire run, obviously the original MacGyver, but then Pete Thornton.
Yeah.
And he wasn't always in every episode.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he didn't even start with the show. Came in, well, he was in the pilot, but as a different character.
Details.
Details, I know. This, it just, I think people who were looking for the action, adventure, police procedural type stuff, people like Mom,
mm-hmm.
are going to look at this and say, yeah, not for me, and not tune back in.
Yeah.
And as somebody who is not heavily steeped in the old one, it's like, I'm curious about this, but I didn't find this character or even this actor engaging enough for me to say, yep, I'm going to keep going with it. Well, whereas with Lethal Weapon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Clayne Crawford did a great job.
Well, and Lethal Weapon had the witty dialogue and the bromance.
Yes.
Whereas these partners weren't bad together, but they didn't have that chemistry. I think the best scene with the partners was when the boyfriend was in the room.
I would agree with that. And it's funny because I think when Trivette, the partner in the original one, was introduced, there was a lot more back and forth between Walker and Trivette.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got here with a Walker constantly intentionally mispronouncing the name as Trivette.
Yes.
And Trivette kind of trying to get a little under Walker's skin.
Mm-hmm.
Just torment him a little, not maliciously, but kind of as payback or something. And I didn't really feel, other than, again, that one scene where Walker has inexplicably kind of been injured and needs to be tended to, and she takes him home versus to, like, medical help, and her boyfriend, who happens to be in town that she'd forgotten about, happens to be, I guess, an army medic or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a good scene, but the whole thing for that to kind of happen just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I think they've spent enough time on this to figure out what's their overall arc, but haven't really thought through the logic of the world.
Mm. Well, and going back to the Lethal Weapon comparison, we've got the Rule Breaker Bender paired with the, I'm known for getting it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it's a very clear parallel to Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you had not told me ahead of time that you'd seen the parallels to Lethal Weapon and stuff, I don't know if I necessarily would have picked up on all of that. But I think even if I hadn't, you'd have pointed out, well, there's this. And I'm like, yeah, I totally see it now.
Well, and that was why I went ahead and mentioned it before you watched it. Because I'm like, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm imagining things. And I tried not to give you a slew of specifics beforehand, but just to say, go into it thinking, does anything remind you of Lethal Weapon?
Well, that's the thing is if I had that knowledge and you hadn't seen it, I would not have told you that. I'd have then let you watch it, ask what you thought. If you brought it up, you brought it up. And if you didn't, then I would have asked. Because otherwise, I came in with a little bit of expectation of that parallel.
Yeah, I guess.
So when there were those things, yeah. It's like, okay, I can see them now because I was sort of looking for them. But the fact that there were so many of them, because there's a certain amount of police procedural, you're going to have the cop, the partner, the boss, the, you know, the informant, or, you know, whatever the standard kind of repertoire of characters and relationships are. But so many of them fell into the pattern of Lethal Weapon. A few differences here and there. And so few of them fell into the pattern of the original Walker Texas Ranger.
Well, the original Walker had Alex, the district attorney.
Who's now the brother of this one, essentially.
Yeah.
And set up in a way that I think we both agree we don't totally trust.
Yeah. Which rubbed me wrong.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. But when you think about it, is also reminiscent of Lethal Weapon. Because it ended up being the father-in-law that Riggs... Yeah. Shouldn't have trusted.
The family member had done it. And having a family member who's a lawyer also was done.
Yeah.
In Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Which in and of itself was a major change from the movies. So.
All right. So then in the original Walker, we had CD.
Yep.
The retired ranger, who's a bartender. Now here we have a bartender who is the best friend of the dead wife who was with her the night she died. Or at least was running the same errand as her the night she died?
That was all a little unclear. But she's kind of the potential parallel both to CD in terms of owns the bar and stuff like that, but also the potential parallel to Alex, the DA, as the potential love interest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's set up such that that seems unlikely given the mechanics of the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were going to take this and go with the show running it moving forward, I would keep that character potentially around such that they grow closer. The arc for the next season is they're now maybe starting to date. The kids rebel against that, you know, whatever. And use that to kind of have the pendulum swinging back and forth. Is dad in good with the kids? Is he not? Is he, you know, having a good, you know, relationship life? Is he not? Because to have a show go for multiple seasons, typically you've got to have things that, again, go one way, and then they backtrack, then they go back, and,
yeah,
you know, the to and fro.
Yeah. The original show had Trivette.
Which is the equivalent of this new ranger.
Yeah.
And who I didn't think was introduced well.
No, I didn't like the introduction of this new ranger, and really, Trivette's story for why he became a Texas Ranger was really good.
Yes. Yes. It was a little almost corny at times, but the way he told it to Walker was good. Here...
But also when you think about the historical facts that have come out, that the Lone Ranger was not only a Texas Ranger, but most likely a Black.
Yeah. Well, it's also a positive reason for becoming a Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, her rationale is... half trying to make things right, but also half rebelling against her parents.
Yeah.
So, I didn't think that was as well thought through. And I don't think she's as interesting as Trivette was.
Mm-mm.
But Clarence Gilliard, great actor.
Yes.
And this one here, she's not bad. But I don't think she was given good stuff to work with.
No, she got the short end of the script.
Well, and the other difference was the original Walker was something of a dinosaur. Trivette was the computer guy, the up-and-comer. He's going to modernize things. So there's a definite yin-yang opposite aspect there.
Yeah.
Whereas I really didn't get that at all here.
Yeah.
One's a rule breaker, one's a rule follower. That's cliche, but other than that.
Well, one of the things they evolved over the run of the original Walker that I just found hilarious, in part because in the real world it wouldn't happen, but they did it. And it turned out, according to rumors, that it was actually based on one of the executive producers of the show. And somebody noticed whenever he would get mad at somebody on the cell phone, instead of hanging up, he would just throw the phone.
Mm.
And it was kind of somebody would come along after him picking up whatever he'd thrown, phone, sometimes laptops, you name it. He just chucked it aside.
It's an expensive habit.
Exactly. But they gave it to Walker. So he'd be on the cell phone with someone, and he'd be walking by a trash can. If he didn't like that conversation, he'd just drop the phone in the trash can and keep going.
Well, the funny thing is that fits a guy who's not really big on technology to begin with.
Exactly.
Kind of a shoot the messenger.
It fit with the show, and it became hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the new Walker didn't have that sense of humor.
He didn't have that sense of humor. He didn't seem...
Not just the character, the whole show.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I was going to say, this one didn't seem to have almost that fish out of water that kind of, sort of, the original one did.
Well, but another aspect of that was the Native American background.
Yes.
For the original one.
Which I hadn't really remembered from the original one, but it was very clear he's half Cherokee or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this new version, that's completely discarded.
No, instead he, goes undercover and comes back not quite right, which also reminds me of Riggs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious what it was about the original Walker that prompted them to do this show, and what it was that prompted them to change so much of it.
My suspicion is Texas Rangers are mythical and legendary, and it's not just the one riot, one ranger.
No, and I get that, but then doing a show about a Texas Ranger versus doing a show about Walker Texas Ranger.
I think it's the same thing that's gotten so many shows rebooted and then changed up so much. People are hoping the name draws you and what they give you keeps you.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly, I think for Hawaii Five-0, MacGyver, Charmed, Magnum P.I., and the slew of other ones, they're definitely banking on the name recognition, the sense of familiarity.
Equalizer is coming out, I think, after the Super Bowl.
Well, again, Lethal Weapon falls into that. It's a known franchise. It's an easier sell. And while I think it's an easier sell, there's the higher risk, though, of if you don't deliver on what the brand is potentially promising or what the expectations are, it burns out quickly.
Well, it's why Star Trek Deep Space Nine wasn't quite my thing, even though I like most of the Star Trek franchises. And it's why I float back and forth on Discovery. Because to me, Star Trek is a promise of hope and a better future.
Yeah. Well, and that's also part of why I sometimes mock Star Trek Voyager. Because Star Trek is about going out there. Voyager was about coming back.
Yeah.
And it's funny because there have been other shows that have been revivals, remakes, whatever, of either movie franchises or TVs that just didn't last. Rush Hour is a great example of that.
They tried to do a remake of Left Boat, The Next Wave.
Yeah, that was a little further back than I was thinking. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they've also done, I think, Fantasy Island. They've done numerous ones. Odd Couple, more recently. And again, some of these have worked, some of them haven't. And part of it is, do you have a good show? You got to have that. But also, is that good show on brand for the name you're leveraging?
Yeah.
And that's where I think this is kind of that neither fish nor fowl. Everyone who's coming to it because, oh, I want to see Walker Texas Ranger is going to look at that saying, but it's not it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who say, well, I'm not going to bother it, it's like Walker Texas Ranger, you know?
Yeah.
So I think this is a decent show that I would have come to differently if it hadn't been called Walker,
mm-hmm.
and therefore leveraging that past show And if it had been, frankly, a little bit more original than what seems like a new take on the Lethal Weapon TV show.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed immensely.
Yes.
But if you try to sell it to somebody as, well, it's like that, it doesn't have the action, it doesn't have the humor, you know, and it's got more almost teen melodrama.
Yeah.
Then I think a lot of the audience is going to be interested in.
I agree.
And it's not a bad show, but an hour-long pilot episode didn't make me think, man, I have got to check this out. Now, flip side, pandemic, shortage of new content out there for the audience, it may do okay.
And I think it's going to do well for CW.
Well, because also the lead actor is just coming off a 15-year run of Supernatural or whatever.
Yeah.
So definitely there's an audience there. And if that audience, enough of it transitions to this, yeah, that could definitely work for them.
I mean, I think that's what they should have been trying to leverage more than the Walker name.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really watched Supernatural at all. I may have seen bits and pieces, Wolf Open Channels or something, but no real knowledge of that show.
Yeah. I've never watched it.
So, Mom, you said, it's not going to follow this?
I don't know. She got to the end of it and didn't seem like it. It'll be interesting to see when the next episode airs, if she wants to watch it or not.
How about you?
I tend to be forgiving and give shows more of a chance to find their feet, so I'll probably watch a few more episodes before I decide.
Fair enough.
Nothing turned me off, but all the Lethal Weapon feelings and comparisons had me wanting more, which was the downside to it feeling so Lethal Weapon. I wanted the banter. I wanted the comedic relief.
Well, and we've also seen a few of these actors in other roles. Mm. The former partner, now boss, was the guy hunting the mutants in The Gifted.
Yeah.
And I think he did a better job over there.
He got virtually no material here.
The dad here.
Mitch Pileggi,
we knew from, he was recently in Supergirl. He was in Stargate Atlantis,
yeah,
among other things. So he's very talented. Didn't really get a whole lot here.
No.
And it's funny because I never really got a great sense of how Walker and his brother and his parents kind of all interacted. And that, I think, should have been a little bit clearer. Because it's a long established relationship in theory.
Yeah.
Versus, okay, the kids and the grandparents and stuff, I could see where that's a little awkward or whatever, even though it's been 11 months that they've been in that situation. Yeah, I'm not going to say I'll never watch it again, but it's one of those that I got other things on my plate. I'd be more likely to watch the original because it's easy episode in and out kind of a deal.
And that's what I always loved about the original Walker, Texas Ranger, was you could turn it on and, well, like I said, I lived in Dallas around the time it was being made. And we noticed that some of the smaller towns, if you will, that touched Dallas were suddenly using their funds for these huge four-lane, each direction, divided roads to nowhere.
But now it's somewhere you can film on.
Oh, yeah. And so we would be watching it going, wait, I think I've driven on that road. You know, and it was the joke that Walker, Texas Ranger was great for the roads in several of the communities that were hoping in 10 or 20 years they'd need those four lanes each direction.
Yeah.
But for now, it was great for filming.
Well, I used to work in downtown Austin, so I don't know how much of their filming would have impacted the commute and stuff like that. Based from what I was seeing, probably not a whole lot.
I don't think so.
And certainly during a pandemic, not at all.
Well, and when they were at the food truck on Congress, it seemed to be pretty far south Congress.
Yeah, but I would typically take that going into town.
True.
But they were shooting later in the day and stuff. So I think it's good for Austin to have filming and stuff going on, potentially, particularly now that I don't have a work commute. But I'm not sure how well this is going to get received and how much the show changes from pilot moving forward.
Yeah.
Which is commonplace.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of things they could do to improve it. I think a lot of them, I think, are, in my opinion, fairly obvious. And some of it is they just need to get some more time to establish the characters, get into the rhythm of it. Most shows don't start out fully formed.
Yeah.
It's fairly rare. And it would not surprise me if this is a show that, if it goes to a second season, gets retooled subtly between them. Maybe we've finished the story arc for a few of these characters we got introduced in this episode, and they're just no longer a factor.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. But if it doesn't focus a little bit more on the police procedural aspect,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it was family drama heavy.
Yeah,
and not in a way I enjoyed. And part of that was it was very depressing, deep.
But it was the A plot, and the case was the B plot, and typically it's the other way around.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the part that doesn't work great for me.
And I mean, looking back 10, 20 years ago, they tried to weave some aspect of each together in terms of something going on with the family would have either echoed to the case or lit that light bulb that had the cop going, oh, that's what I didn't see that helps me solve the case.
I think a good example of a show that kind of had a transition point there is Without a Trace.
Mm.
It started very much as a police procedural. You didn't know what these people did outside the office.
Yes.
By the end of it, you got to know one of them had a kid, get to know the kid, the struggles he's got. One of them's got a father that's got Alzheimer's and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the family life bled into the show.
Yeah.
But as much as a new person getting to know his coworkers over the years.
Yes.
As anything else. Whereas here, it's again, so steeped in the family. And even some of that didn't have enough room in an hour episode to really, okay, what's the relationship between the two brothers? How much is he interacting with the brothers with the kids while Walker was out and all this kind of stuff? So part of it is it just needs a little more time to progress and establish itself.
Yeah.
And for them to figure out what's working, what's not. And like I said, I expect a few of these characters to fade away, but the only one I think that's in a position to do that is the bartender.
Yeah.
And I think that might be a mistake, but unless the brother is the one who did it to the wife and stuff, how does he get moved out of it? Or maybe he's transitions to another place. He's so integral to the family drama that's such a big part of it, he's hard to write out.
Yeah.
Likewise with the parents, shy of killing them.
Yeah. Well, and the question is, did the wife die because of unrelated to Cordell Walker? Or did she die because of a case related to Cordell Walker? Because he had recently come back from undercover, as I recall. Or did he die because of something relating to the friend she was with?
Yeah. Well,
or relating to the brother's case.
The three suspects, in my opinion, are the brother, the friend of the wife, the bartender one, and the former partner.
Mm.
Could have played into how he got promoted.
Yeah.
But that's not the kind of mystery I want to be solving over the course of a season.
Yeah.
For what's based on a show that's a, let's get in, solve the crime of the day, and move on, and everybody's happy.
Yeah. Well, and much like the original MacGyver, as I recall, the original Walker had a lot of, well, like in the episode we watched, they ended with a rodeo where Walker was riding a bull to raise money for homeless children, I think it was. So there was very much a serve and protect the community, not just when you're on the job.
Do the right thing because it's the right thing. And it's funny because that bit with the bull riding, I don't even think made it to the point of a B plot. It was really a scene early on and then the payoff at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it was an excuse to get Walker to ride a bull.
Yeah. And to dress up Trevette as a clown.
Yes. Yes. And that's the kind of thing that the more lighthearted moments and stuff like that. And that's, again, that's the sort of thing I enjoyed about the original MacGyver. You had the opening gambit. You had a fun episode. Maybe there was a moral of the story. Maybe there wasn't, or he helped a neighbor or whatever. There was some incidental stuff that just made for good scenes, even if they weren't, oh my God, integral to the plot.
Yeah.
And there was never this big conspiracy theory that they were trying to solve or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's an aspect of TV from a generation ago and TV today.
I do have one thing that I'm curious if will be seen slash play into an episode in the first season of The New Walker. Homelessness.
It should, because it's a major factor here in town. We have, I think they've got a petition for an anti-camping ban again.
Yeah.
Because you go to almost any major intersection or overpass or underpass, whatever, there are tents all over town.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem, because if we've got that many homeless,
why? We've got a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it's not get them out of sight. It's a, why are they there and how can we help them?
Well, and instead of opening a shelter or something of that sort, the governor's suggestion and solution was to rent an empty parking lot and tell everybody, move your tents there where we can't see them.
Mm.
So it's been an ongoing saga.
It's definitely an aspect, if you spend any time in Austin, that you would probably notice, unless you're literally airport, office, hotel kind of trip. So for them to not touch on it would be surprising.
Well, I was just thinking that, and I mean, a lot of the establishing shots of, hey, you're in Austin, were pretty close up. Let's do signposts.
Awkwardly
and,
so.
Yeah. And that, for a moment, made me wonder, wait, were we cropping in so we weren't seeing homeless? Why were we so close?
I didn't think so, because the only real wide shots we got were either up Congress towards the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
One or two kind of on that, across the lake to the bridge or something like that. But, I mean, we didn't get shots of Zilker Park. We didn't get shots of a lot of iconic things.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I think there should be a case that does something over at the University of Texas.
Yes.
Again, iconic part of Texas.
Yeah.
Or Austin. I think a lot of people know that from the football games versus, you know, anything else they might know about Austin.
Yeah.
There's a lot of obvious stuff I think they could do.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they get the chance. We'll see how the show kind of evolves. Or maybe we won't. I don't know if we're going to follow it or not. You're at least going to go for a few episodes. I may wait for you to say it's worth doing that or not. I don't know.
Sounds good.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.